Shalom Aleichem. Today we're going to be continuing in the sugya of Ribbis Derech Mekach HaMemker, and we're going to be learning under the general sugya of Tarsha, which is a Mishnah on Daf Samach Hei Omer Aleph, Ma'aben Al HaSochar. Now, just to explain again what Ribbis Derech Mekach HaMemker means, and specifically in the context of Tarsha, the Torah said that Ribbis is Osir when a person lends money, he's the Malva, and he receives more in return from the loiva, right? So he's mechasem and manish al loiva. He ends up taking more money from the loiva, and that's all in the context of halva, of lending. When a person does a mecher, a schiris, he's not lending money, it's a transaction where he's renting something, where he's buying something, so then even if he's charging more, so then there's maybe a sugya of aino, whatever it is, but we're not in the sugya of ribbis, because ribbis has nothing to do with purchasing. Imkolzeh, with that said, there sometimes are cases where there's an appearance of ribbis, and Chazal with Geyser, they forbid a person to do a mekach, or a transaction like a mekach, like a sale or a rental, when there's an appearance of ribbis. We had discussed previously that if the buyer comes, the lekech comes, and he fronts money, he gives money before the transaction, and in lieu of that, he gets maybe an added value because the product that he gets went up in price, or he actually negotiated a discount in lieu of the fact that he fronted money, so there's an appearance of ribbis. He's paying extra money to the seller. The lekeach is paying extra money to the seller, and that looks like he's prepaying to the seller. It looks like he's lending money, and in lieu of that, he's getting extra, and it has a tzura, an appearance of ribbis. And now we're going to discuss a similar application, but the reverse side of the coin, and that is tarsha. Tarsha literally means credit. And what's happening is that even though the buyer is supposed to pay for the item upon the transaction, which means upon the receiving of goods, okay? So he's buying payris, or he's buying an appliance. When he's receiving it, he should pay for it. He's going to say, I want to pay in 60 days. And in lieu of the fact that I'm paying later, I will pay you more. I'm going to compensate the seller for the fact that he let me hold on to my money, even though really a sale, I should be paying miyad, I should be paying immediately. So I'm going to compensate that, and I'm going to pay later. And that's very similar to a popular way of doing business called 2-10 and 30, where a person is going to get a discount for paying early on time, and he pays more when he pays later. Why does it look like ribbis? So again, we have to make sure we fully understand the moving parts over here. Who's the borrower and who's the lender? When a buyer, okay, we're going to talk about an appliance, we're going to talk about a refrigerator. A buyer is coming to pay for a refrigerator. He purchased the refrigerator for $1,000. He's obligated to pay for the refrigerator upon the receipt of the refrigerator. Now, if he says, I'm going to pay you later, I don't have the money to pay you now, or I just don't want to pay you now, I'm going to pay you later, and instead of paying you $1,000, I'm going to pay you $1,200, the Mishnah says, you can't add money to a mecher. Marben al mecher means you're adding money to the mecher to pay later. Essentially, what's happening is that the purchaser of the refrigerator is saying that the $1,000 that I should give you, I'd like to hold in my pocket. I'm borrowing it, so to speak, borrowing. You're not really borrowing, because eventually you're paying for a sale. You're not really borrowing money. But we look at it like I'm borrowing it, since it shouldn't be by me, it should be by the seller. I'm borrowing money from the seller, and I'm going to pay, instead of the $1,000, which I'm obligated to pay now for the fridge, I'm going to pay $1,200. The added premium of $200 that we added on to pay later is looked at as ribbis, and the Mishnah says you cannot add on to a mekach when you're paying later. It has its suis ribbis, and that is what we call ribbis derech mekach umemker. The Mishnah says, ma'aben al ha'socher, which means by rent, if you have agreed to pay $1,000 a month, and the Mishnah says usually you pay at the end of the month, you could say I'll pay at the beginning of the month and I'll pay cheaper. And so rent, the Gemara is saying, rent works differently than a sale. A sale, you have a two-tier system. You pay by the point of the transaction $1,000. You pay $1,200 60 days later. That's also because it looks like ribbis. But rent, if we say you pay at the beginning of the month $1,000, you pay at the end of the month $1,200, that's okay. That's what the Mishnah says on the Tamachem and Aleph. And the Gemara says, Maishna, what's the difference between rent and a sale? And the Gemara says, Schiris inim stilemis ala b'seif. Schiris, by rent, you pay at the end of the month. You're supposed to pay at the end of the month, which means in Hilchas Dini Mamnis, in Hilchas Choshen Mishpat, the monetary halachas of rent is you should pay at the end. And Kivan Lematya Zimnin Migbala Vagamata, which means you're not adding money to pay at the end of the month. That's when you're supposed to pay. You simply discount to get to pay at the beginning of the month. So the Gemara, by a sale, you're discounting it. You're adding up, you're adding into the sale to pay later, because you're supposed to pay right away. That's the Gemara says in Daf Samachay. And the Gemara ends up saying, Tarsha, which is by credit, is mutter if you don't have cuts, if you don't say it's a two-tier system. You're just saying, pay me in 60 days, and pay me $1,200. You don't specify $1,000 now, $1,200 now. So let's dig in to these halachas. That's the general halachas, that by rent, you could have a two-tier system, and by sale, you cannot. Now let's understand why by rent, you could have a two-tier system. The Gemara explains in Daf Samachay, that the reason why you could say $1,200 at the end of the month and $1,000 at the beginning of the month, because $1,200 is really what it costs. Because whatever you're paying at the end of the month is the legitimate cost of the rent, and you're just discounting it for $1,000. Now, the obvious question is that if indeed you're just discounting it to pay at the beginning of the month, then the discount itself, that you're, it comes out, you're fronting money. The renter, the tenant, is only obligated to pay at the end of the month. So why is he paying early? He's paying early in lieu of getting a discount. So that sounds like, basically, it sounds like a psika. Now, we learned about psika, that a person can't get a discount for fronting money. The tenant, essentially, is not obligated to pay at the end, so he's fronting money to get a discount. So in essence, the tenant is lending money to the landlord. Instead of paying $1,200 at the end of the month, I'll lend you money at the beginning of the month, and if I'm lending you money, give me a discount on the rent. And that should be a problem of psika, which we discussed yesterday. And that's the question that the Achronim grapple with. And I will refer you to the Kavitz Aris and Siman Nun Gimel, but there's other Achronim that discuss this. And the basic premise of what they're saying is, I'm just going to explain on a very basic level, is that even if you're paying at the beginning of the month, you're paying rent, you're not paying early. Which means you're obligated to pay rent at the end of the month. But if you pay at the beginning of the month, that's not considered I'm fronting money. By Mekach, when you're buying something, and I say, you know what, you're giving me a refrigerator next month, I'll front you, I'll prepay, and in lieu of that, I'll give you a discount, give me a discount, meaning I'm buying a fridge. And I'm buying a fridge, and the fridge is being delivered next month, in 30 days. And really, I should be paying next month in 30 days. And it should be $1,200. And I say, listen to me, I want to pay now, I'm going to almost prepay to get a discount, almost like I'm lending to get a discount. That's psika, that's ribbis derech mechamemke, and that's usher. And the reason why it's usher is because you're paying early, you're paying out of the context of the transaction. There's no transaction yet, you didn't buy the fridge. So it has a tzura of halva, it looks like you're lending money, and in lieu of that you're getting a discount. What the Achronim are explaining by rent is it's different. And the reason they're saying is that if the rent begins, if we're making a kinyan to rent a property, even though in Hilchas Choshen Mishpat, in the monetary dinim, in the monetary laws, you'd be obligated to pay at the end of the month, if the rent started and I'm paying now, it's not considered I'm prepaying, I'm not fronting money, I'm paying for rent because I'm living here already. I have an obligation to pay rent. Usually the obligation is to pay at the end. But I tell you, if you pay now, it'll be cheaper. So it's almost like there's two rents. There's a rent you can pay at the beginning of the month, and there's a rent you can pay at the end of the month. But it's not early. They're both rent. And therefore, they're both legitimate paying of rent, and there's no halva. There's no why did you pay? There's no transaction of rent. It must be a lending money. This is Rebbe's Derech Mechamemker. You're renting from him. So if you're renting from him, you could pay rent. So you could have this kind of a long rent. Rent starts from the beginning of the month, ends at the end of the month. It's a long transaction of rent. Anytime you pay, it's going to be rent. So if I pay at the beginning, it's $1,000. I pay at the end, it's $1,200. But there's nothing here besides rent. So we don't see halva. That's the best way I could explain it. Why it's mutter by rent to do it. Now, we'll obviously have to discuss a case where there's no rent yet. Now, what happens? What happens if you didn't start renting? And this is very relevant for, let's say, a wedding hall, where the wedding hall, you're paying for it, let's say 50%, more than just the deposit. I'm talking about you're paying real money here. 50%, if you pay 50% upfront or 100% upfront, we'll give you a discount. But the wedding is in 2 months. The wedding is in a month. The wedding is next week. There is no rent yet. You're not renting the hall. Are you allowed to offer a discount prior to the beginning of the rental? Now, this is not clear because you're making a kinyan. You're signing a document that you've been kind of, you're signing a lease that I have a right to use the wedding hall in 2 weeks, in a month. Is that considered that I rented it already? And since I rented it, it's almost like it started that I rented, that I'm allowed to prepay for a discount, or it has to actually be you can move into the house. This is a big discussion in the Rishonim, Rabbi Yisai. And I refer you to Taisan Daf Pei Vav Med Beis and Baba Basra, Divrei HaMaskil Dina L'Yayim. And Taisan says, Hadatanam Beis and Neshech, Marban Al HaSachar, that a person's allowed to have a two-tier system by rent. Ve'ein Marban Al HaMecher, but you can't do a two-tier system by sales. Hayde Shori L'Halbas Al HaSachar, this that you're allowed to charge more for the end and cheaper for the beginning. We're talking about that both ends you're renting. You could walk in the beginning of the month when you're paying cheaper, you could already walk into the house. The rent, the lease began. The property is yours to access. If not, which means if you don't have access to the premises and your lease did not begin, it's forbidden. Now, the Lashon Taisus is clear. A person can say, Mr. Tenant, if you pay at the beginning of the month, $1,000. You pay at the end of the month, $1,200. Both ways, at the beginning of the month, we're talking about right now, it's the beginning of the month, the lease began, you can come in now, and you can pay for it now, and you'll get it cheaper. You can pay for the end of the month and make it more expensive, and that's permitted, and there's no way around that, because that's a Mefurish Mishnah on Daf, in Perekei Zeneshach, in Daf Samachay. If you're not actually starting the lease, you're not actually have access to the property, you cannot prepay, which is relevant to people who are renting out their bungalows, and they're renting it out Hanukkah time, and they're renting it out Purim time, and they're renting it out Pesach time, and they're renting it the bungalow for the summer. So the lease obviously did not begin. It's not the time of the lease, and they can't be nichnas miyad, like Taisha says in Peivav. So now can you say to the person, you have a few people who want the bungalow, so what do? You say the first person who pays me in full, prepay, they get it for a discount. You let it do that. It would be mashman Taisus, you're not let it do it. Now there are cholkim on this, Taisus, and they say no, by rent, as long as you make a kinyan, that means that the rent begins. It's just not the time of the rent, but the kinyan happened already. It's different than mekach, where you weren't kind of the item. And this you have to be looking sugya and Shulchan Aruch Yerdei Kufay and Vav Sif Vav, and the Paiskim there. But I do want to say one thing, that you look at the Nekudas Kesef and the Shach seems to say that everyone agrees that even though you don't access the property, you could have access to the property. Okay? Which means you don't have to actually start living in the land, but you do have to have the ability to live under the rental. A wedding hall prior to the time of the wedding, you don't have access and you can't, and especially at night, if you want to use the wedding hall, and it's not your night, you didn't rent it yet, you can't come. Someone else is making a chasana. A bungalow which is closed up, there's no water and there's no heat, and you want to prepay and pay in Purim time for a summer rental, and everything's closed, the whole bungalow shut down, and you don't have access to the premises, and they're not giving you access, and the pool's closed, and everything's closed, the shul's closed. So that would seem to be problematic, highly problematic. The Rikvega seems to take an issue with such a thing as well. So that becomes an issue, but when you're prepaying and it's not roy to live in. If you're prepaying and you could live in it in the property and you're not living in the property, then it seems like it would not be an issue if you most places can, even though you're not nichnas miyad like the Lashon Taisus, but you could be, that's okay. Now the Mishnah, the Gemara also says in Baba Basra that a worker, and this is a very important point, eventually we'll circle back to Mekach by Tarsha, but so far we discussed Chiris, rental. The Mishnah says, a worker, if you hire a worker, and you say, Mr. Worker, I'll pay you in the beginning of your labor, the beginning of your contract, you're starting to work, and I'll pay you less because I'm paying you right away, I'm laying out money, or paying at the end of the rental of the employment and I'll pay you more. So basically the employer, the owner is saying, I'll pay him less because I'm fronting the money, almost like I'm lending money, because you only have to pay at the end of the contract. The Mishnah says, the Gemara in Babasha Pevav says, that's fine, because he started work. It's very similar to Marban Alamecher, where as long as he started to work, it's fine. But the Gemara says, you can't pay less to the worker by fronting money if you're fronting it even before he begins work. And this is a very important point, because this is relevant if you're hiring a worker, like for example, you're hiring a musician by a chasana, just to stay on this simcha theme. So you're paying a musician. Now the musician charges X amount per hour. So the chasana is going to be $500. And that's due upon completion of the job, meaning by the wedding, when the wedding's over. But you do say, the musician does say, when you hire me now, 2 months in advance, if you pay me $350, says the musician, then that'll be enough. Pay me $350 now, 2 months in advance, or pay me by the wedding $500. Is that permitted? The Gemara says that's not permitted because he didn't start working. It's like prepayment. Prepayment for a discount is forbidden. Very similar to what we found by Psika on a Mekach. You can't prepay to get a discount, so you can't prepay on an employment to get a discount. Now, what's the exception to that? The exception to that would be if it's not Mefurish, what the person's rates are, which means a musician, nobody knows what the rates are. The whole problem over here is Mechzi Keribis, Agarnota, looks like Ribis. So what would be if the musician doesn't say, pay me later $500, pay me early before the wedding $350. He just says, you need to pay me before. In other words, when you book me, I want to be paid in full, and I'm charging $350. Now, he knows he would charge more if you pay later, but it wasn't spoken out. That's fine, because we don't see Ribis, because how do we know what he would charge? Every person has their own rates based on a lot of different variables, based on supply and demand. Everyone would have their own rates. So in such a case, when it's not spoken out, a two-tier system, that's not a problem. But once we discuss two-tier system, the musician cannot at that point say, pay me before the wedding less, pay me after the wedding more. He can say, pay me at the beginning of the wedding once I start less, pay me at the end of the wedding more, and that's fine, because once he starts working, so we don't see you prepaying. You're paying for the work, and he's starting to work. This is also relevant to camps where a camp wants to charge more in advance. He's giving a discount, the early bird special, if you pay up front a significant amount to lock in, so lock in a price, lock in a discount. It would seem that you're hiring the people in the camp, and it would seem to me that they didn't start working. Now you could say they're preparing to work, but that's not really what you're hired to do. You're hired to take care of my kids during the summer. The preparations you need to do is what you need to do. I would think I'm not hiring you until my kid's on the premises, and now you're working for me. Prior to the summer, I would think the camp is not working for me. They're working for themselves to make sure that the camp is going to be a high-quality summer. So that would be somewhat of a problem to lock in an early bird, especially, even though maybe people will think to themselves it's somewhat, this is standard what goes on. But that's not an answer. If it's forbidden, it's forbidden. And if you look clearly in the sugya in Baal Basra Peivav, hiring a worker is only permitted with a discount at the beginning of the employment. But towards to discount it prior to the beginning of the employment, which means to say, Mr. Worker, I'm hiring you for next month, and I'll pay you up front, and it'll be cheaper. That's forbidden. So that would be an application to the camps. Those are. The main points to discuss when we discuss Schiris, the two-tier system by Schiris, and when we discuss employment. Okay? Now, the main halacha when we discuss Tarsha generally is discussing Mekach. So I'm going to circle back now to Mekach. Mekach would mean is that there is a impending sale. We're talking about we're selling something. And again, we have to get the moving parts all clear. When we're selling something, so generally, when the Torah looks at it, in Hilchos Chosh and Mishpat, the monetary laws that guide us in a sale would be, is that you pay for a sale upon the execution of the transaction. And what that means is that when you receive goods, you're obligated to pay for it. If you're going to pay early, before you receive the goods, that's a prepayment, and that's what we discussed as psika. If in lieu of the psika, which means the buyer, the lekeach, is fronting money, he's kind of lending money to the meicher, and if he's receiving a discount in lieu of that, it gives an appearance of ribbis. It's not really ribbis because it's not a loan, and it's what we call ribbis derech mekach memker, and that's forbidden. The flip side of that is, instead of the buyer paying upon the transaction, and instead of him paying early of the before the transaction, he's actually paying late. So he says, and this is actually very common in today's days, we don't look at it like it's late, but al-pichash mishpah, really it's late. Now, two sides can agree to pay late, but we have to discuss the ribbis ramifications of paying late. Now, if you order something from, you have a store, and you order from your supplier, right, from your vendors, and he sends you an invoice, and you pay after 60 days. Essentially, you're paying late. Now, if you want to pay late, pay late. We're not getting involved in that. But once you say that if you pay on time, which means upon receipt of goods, or within 5 days of receiving the goods, whatever it is, you agree, the price is $1,000 for the fridge, right? And let's just go into a case where a person's ordering a fridge. If you pay upon the receipt of the fridge, it's $1,000. But if you pay within 60 days of receiving the fridge, it's $1,200. So Chazal understood, essentially what you're doing is the buyer is lending money to the seller. His obligation to give $1,000, he's keeping the $1,000 kind of the seller in his pocket. He's almost borrowing it. And he's adding a premium of $200. And that's what the Gemara says, Tashas Aser. And the Gemara explains, Tashas Aser when you cuts. And a cuts means is that we're setting a two-tier system. We're saying $1,000 now, $1,200 later. Okay? And that's forbidden. Now, the question is, why is it forbidden? It's forbidden because you're inflating the price of $200. Those $200 of inflation, of adding it in because you're holding on to the money, is looked at as ribbis. The question is, what happens when the fridge is widely understood to actually be $1,200, which means I'm buying a $1,200 fridge. We know I'm buying a $1,200 fridge. And all places that sell these fridges are charging $1,200. But the standard is people pay 60 days. And the seller says, I'm going to discount it if you pay on time to $1,000. So now the question is, would that be forbidden? There really is no ribbis because we don't see an inflation of price. Now, this is somewhat of a controversy, and there's a famous Machan Ephraim, and the Machan Ephraim is in Siman Lamed Aleph. And if you have time, you should go through it. But the Machan Ephraim seems to say it's not a problem. And the reason why it's not a problem is, like we just discussed, there's no inflation of price. We can't see ribbis. Where is the ribbis? The person is paying $1,200 later. That is actually the price of the fridge. Now, if you go through the Gemara and the Samach in Bab Metzia, the Gemara says, Mashvuhu dechashavile, which means that when you pay the value of it, right? And the payment upon the receipt of goods, that's the value. That the Gemara says that is assumed to be the value. And when you pay later, that's an inflation. So there are those that learn, and the Machan Ephraim Bereshim is saying, you actually always have to determine what's the real value. Let's say the real value is you're paying later, then there's no inflation of price. So really what you have is very similar to Marban al-Sachar. Marban al-Sachar means, by schar, by rental, is you're paying later at the end of the month, that's the value. If you pay at the beginning of the month, that's a discount, but it's still considered a rent because the rent started. So either way, there's no ribbis. You have to identify ribbis. You have to identify what we would call an overpayment. There is no overpayment. And by schiris, that's mutter. And therefore, it would seem to reason that our case, which is very, very very common in today's economy, our case, where the actual value is only charged at the end of 60 days or 30 days, and that's what the entire 210 at 30 works, is that you're paying for the real price later. That's not an inflation, that's the actual value. You're paying on time, you're paying a discount, that's mutter, because that's the point of the transaction. And everything would be good. That is the Shitz Machan Ephraim. Lemaisa Rubai of Paiskim take umbrage with this Machan Ephraim. And Bereisham, not Bereisham, but I'm just going to read out clearly from the Shulchan Aruch Rav, because he discussed it in depth. And Rav Moshe is very stark about this. He has it in his Aharis, in Anuchas Ribbis, Chelik Kimmel. And the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and this is in Simen Yud Ches, by Ribbis, Shulchan Aruch Rav, he says, Koidim Shenigma Mekach Osla Harbis B'mecha. A person is not allowed to add on to the transaction of a sale, which is what we're talking about when we talk about Tarsha. And he says, Em Titan Limiyad Harei Lech Besar. If you pay me right now, it's 10. The Muzman Pliny, if you pay later, it's 12. The Yud Beis. The Afilo HaMekach, says the Machan Ephraim, and this is the main point I want to bring out, Afilo HaMekach Shava Achshav Yud Beis. So he says, Mefurish, that even though the actual value is 12, so you're paying later, you're paying 12. We don't really see an inflation in price. We don't see an added premium because you're paying late. Because how do you see an added premium? It's actually worth 12 and you're paying 12. So what's the problem? And the reason why it's a problem, he says, Asim Mishem Avak Rivas. He says it is Asim Mishem Avak Rivas. And the reason is because since you are mechuyev to pay at the point of the transaction, Hilchos Chesh Mishpat, so there's an automatic standard assumption that that's the value. Right now, you could say the value is 12, but if you're paying 10 at the point of transaction, that means you're willing to take 10. If you're willing to take 10 at the point of the transaction, essentially you're valuing it at 10. And when you're taking 12, you're saying, I'll charge a premium. And that's the way they looked at it. And there's different nuschois in exactly how to frame the argument of why it's like that. I'm just quoting specifically Shulchan Aruch Rav, but there are others like Chacham Sodom, Bina Sodom, they see a little different nusach, that there's a Ma'ar Sayan, because you're making a two-tier system and you're paying later, and that's where the Chazal goes. It doesn't seem like what he's saying, the Shulchan Aruch Rav. He seems to be saying, in the Lomdus, it actually defines the value. The value becomes defined based on what you pay now. That's how we define the value. And when you're paying later, that's how we define an added value, and therefore it becomes Asher. So Ma'ar Rabbeisai, when we look at this very common economic practice in today's society of 210 at 30, we're really going to run into somewhat of an issue, and that's the truth. And someone who has to do it like that, maybe could speak to someone who's really fluent in these halachas. There are het iskos you could write about that, which is not something we're going to discuss how that works, but kaponim, it's something that people should address if they're engaging in such activities. Again, when you have an item that you want to charge, like the derech is to charge later, and that's the only way you're doing it, that's not going to be an issue. Which means, a vendor, this is very clear, a vendor who charges 60 days later, but that's the only way he does it, and the price does not fluctuate, that's not an issue, because you could charge later, there's no ribbis. The problem is when you have a two-tier system. Okay. Now, when there is a two-tier system, I just want to be clear, when there is a two-tier system, you, the buyer, would not be allowed to pay later. You'd only be allowed to pay on time. What that means is as follows. When you're paying on time, there's no ribbis, because you're paying the value and there's no added value. Okay, so we really discussed today three applications to the halacha of Tarsha, and it's all really built into the Mishnah. The halacha of Schiris, the halacha of employment, and the halacha of Mekach. In the halacha of Schiris, you could have a two-tier system, the beginning of the month and the end of the month. I pay cheaper in the beginning of the month, I pay more expensive at the end of the month. The reason why that's permitted is because both ways we see schiris. We don't see prepayment, we don't see an added postpayment. We just see schiris. In schiris, we don't see halva. If we don't see halva, there's no sugya of ribbis derech mekach memker. We have to first identify a tzuris halva. What happens if you're paying before the schiris began? So then it becomes somewhat controversial. If you're paying before the schiris began and you do not have access to the premises, which is very relevant to prepaying on a bungalow, you have an issue. And B'Kveg is very clear about that. If you can't move in and it's not ready to move in, you definitely have an issue. When we're talking about a wedding hall where you don't have access to make a wedding prior to the date of the wedding and you want to prepay, right? It luchar is somewhat of an issue as well. Taisus and Baal Basra and Peifav, like we discussed, is very clear about that. You have to be able to move in right now. You have to actually move in right now, Taisus says, or you have to, Zakta Shach, be able to move in right now. Now, if you have a wedding date for 2 months down the road, and now you prepay, there's no question you can't come on any Tuesday night and start making your own wedding because someone else is there, and he's not willing to share the wedding hall with you. So luchar B'Kveg would have an issue and would take umbrage with such a practice of a wedding hall charging on a prepayment more than a deposit. A deposit's okay because that's just locking up a security that the renter doesn't back out. But more than that, when we're talking about adding cash flow and things like that, that's an issue. Anything more than a deposit, the way out of it would have to be that you're locking up the money. The wedding hall is maskim not to use it for the cash flow. It's a post-dated check, etc. That's talking about a rental. When we talk about employment, the halacha is very clear, and the controversy kind of falls off. The halacha is very clear that you cannot charge for employment prior to the employment beginning. A musician cannot say, I charge $500 for a wedding, but if you prepay, prior to the employment of the wedding, I'll charge 350. That's mufurish in the Gemara. That's all certain. There's really no way around that. The only way out of that is not to make a two-tier system where a musician wants his, for his cash flow, he wants to take money up front. So essentially, the musician could say, my fee is $350, and I charge up front. Now, there's no problem with that. There's not, it's not nicker what his fee is, what his fee would have been if he would have charged later, and that's fine. It's important to note, you can't play games and you can't fool yourself, which means you can't advertise in the newspaper that my fee is $500 a month. You can't have an official sheet in the contract that I sign that my fee is $500 for the wedding, and then I say, I'm only taking up front $350. What happens is, essentially, you're announcing that you're taking up front and you're discounting it because you're already with Magala that your fee is $500, and then we see a two-tier system, so you can't do that. But if you never really were Magala, what your fee is, what your base rate, then taking up front is not a problem because we don't see a prepayment, and that's the lach of employment. And the lach of tarsha we just discussed is that to make a two-tier system and pay a premium on after the transaction is really highly problematic, and if it's not two-tier, it's just you're paying later, then it'll be mutter.